we can, we'll get started now. We have this variance. Stacy, do we need to make a phone call? Okay, yes. And Judy?
You ready? Okay. Judy Tutter, licensing coordinator for the Division of Wildlife out of the Salt Lake office. We're here today to present two variances to the Wildlife Board. Our first variance is Quentin L. Judd. He is here. He'll be coming up to the mic and presenting a brief summary of his variance. But his variance request went through the committee and was denied based on the fact that he was on the unit and he did hunt one day. So we'll have him come up to the mic now and present his summary.
Judd?
To be honest, I'm just here to see if I can get back. I hunted from 7 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on opening day when I fell and broke my leg and had to walk out with my father and my brother helping me. Once I got out, went to the hospital, found out it was broke. All the doctors, I've seen three different doctors in 3 days, and all of them told me do not even attempt to hunt or walk or even break down camp. After that, I got in touch with Judy. She took me through the steps, had surgery on it on the Friday, surrendered my tag on, I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, had surgery on the 23rd to put it back together, and then been going through this process.
Hey. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
The committee's, they're supportive. What Quentin's asking for is an extension of his hunt for next year, and the committee did review that, and they're supportive of that extension.
Okay. So let me capsulize what I just heard. Mr. Judd broke his ankle.
Fibula.
Fibula in the afternoon of the first day. And been before the variance committee asking for an extension of his hunt following this coming year. Questions the members of the board have?
Which hunt was it?
It's an elk hunt. Is that right?
Limited entry, South Cache.
Okay.
Judy, you said that the committee is supportive of the extension.
Yes, they voted in favor of.
Did you shoot at anything that morning?
No. Seen a small bull and a few cows. That's it that morning.
I would ask, how many points did you have?
I think 9 is where I was at.
How would you feel about a return of points?
I'd be fine with that. That was originally what I asked for, but was told that that's not an option.
You could have had either option.
Oh.
Either your points back and waiting for
yeah,
or the extension.
Points would be fine.
When you say points, excuse me, you would basically get your points back, put back in for the permit process and draw back, basically start over again. Rather than extend the hunt.
And when we say points, we'd say whatever they were, 9 plus 1, for instance?
Uh-huh. All the points that, yeah.
Yeah, that we'd had if he hadn't have drawn.
Exactly, yep.
How's the board feel?
Benzie's got one of them styling boots on. I'm inclined to believe him. So, Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion that we restore his points, including the one he would have received this year, to make him whole so that he can apply again next year. You okay with that?
And waive the waiting period.
Yes, right? And waive the waiting period. So we're restoring his points, making him whole with these points, and waiving the waiting period so that he can apply again next year.
And Bill seconds that. They've had a motion to restore the points add one additional point for this year, waive the waiting period, so that he can be in the draw again this coming year. Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Been unanimous then? Thank you, Mr. Judd.
Thank you.
Good luck on the draw.
All right. Appreciate it.
All righty. Okay, our next one is Craig Christiansen, and he's going to be, we'll have to phone call him in Cedar. His work schedule changed, and he wasn't able to make it down here today. You would have got his variance from Stacy through email, and I did include a letter on him and a couple of other pieces of documentation. This is for a bear hunt on the Panguitch Lake. On the summary, the season date I had indicated as July the 9th. I apologize for that. That's a typo. The season date was April the 9th through May 31st, so that was his season date. Craig contacted both Stacy and I at one point and had alluded to us that he had hunted on this unit and that he wanted to apply for a variance. So we explained to him that he would have to go through the process and end up at the Wildlife Board based on the fact that he did hunt. This did go through the committee. It also got just a little bit complicated, too, because he applied for a bear bait COR, and he was denied that. So the committee felt strongly because he hunted, and because of that denial, they was in agreement that this request should be denied. And that's their recommendation to the board. And now we can get him on the phone, and he can explain to you a summary of his variance request. I told him we'd be calling him. Do you have any questions before we place the call?
Okay. You're dialing him, Stacy.
Hello.
Hi, Craig Christiansen. This is Judy at Wildlife. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We got you here at the Wildlife Board meeting, and they're ready to hear your request of your variance. So if you'd like to go ahead and introduce yourself and state that request, they're ready.
Okay. My name is Craig Christiansen, and I live in Cedar City, Utah. And I guess... To start off, I'm requesting a. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for letting me take some time and discuss what happened with my spring bear hunt this last in 2011. And I apologize that I can't be up there today. Unfortunately, work didn't let me, and then with the storm, it's been kind of crazy. So, but anyway, I guess. What I'm looking at is, you know, I drew the tag this last spring and had access to private property or had permission to hunt private property. And unfortunately, because of the weather and that, I wasn't able to access that property and get in on it. And so kind of as a last effort to try and hunt, about the second weekend in May, somewhere in there, I decided to go to the Forest Service and see if there was some place I could hunt on public land. After talking to the biologist of the Forest Service, he showed me a couple places where I could look at that were outside of the boundaries that the Forest Service had set up. Populated or areas that are used a lot by the public for recreation and that sort of thing. So I went in and did some scouting and found a couple spots, took my coordinates back to the Forest Service biologist and turned them into him. And at that time, he wrote a letter saying that basically accepting the sites as and said that they were okay to be used as bait sites. And from that point, I went went to the division and filled out my application for COR and turned it in. And I was denied that COR by the biologist at the Division of Wildlife, saying that my sites were, I believe originally he said a mile and a half. In the letter that I received from him in documentation, he said just over a mile. Either way, according to the guidebook, the guidebook states that you can't be within 100 yards of a water source or an established trail, or within a half a mile of a permanent dwelling. And I guess my big thing, or the problem that I have with the denial of my COR, is that I met the requirements in the guidebook published by the Division of Wildlife. I met the requirements by the Forest Service, and yet I was still denied access or denied the opportunity to bait on these sites. Unfortunately, it was towards the end of the hunt, and I didn't have a lot of time. I spent some more time trying to hunt and trying to find a place without being able to get into it because of downed trees. Spent a lot of time up on the mountain this spring during the hunt, cutting trees and breaking through snow or trying to break through snow drifts. And that was kind of the last-ditch effort to make something of the hunt. And I'm requesting an extension into the 2012 spring on my bear tag, and I'm asking to be allowed to hunt the 2012 season.
Okay. Greg, this is Del Brady from Wildlife Board.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to ask the board members, do they have any questions?
Okay.
Regarding this? Bill?
I asked this question of Teresa. regarding the location of his bait station and what the division's guidelines are, was he within what the division asked for? As he stated, I understand the Forest Service granted him his request for a bait station, and he asserts that he followed the division guidelines. So what was the basis then for the denial, if that's correct?
The guidebook does state a half a mile. He was in the Ikes Valley bear bait and the southern one, which was the, what was that one, Craig?
Derry Canyon.
They were both within a pretty close proximity. It was the closest was, I think, 1.1 miles. But there's subdivisions, mountain subdivisions, all around both bait stations. And it is in an area that we have a lot of human-bear conflict issues summer after summer.
But if I understand this right, this isn't about the COR, it's whether he hunted or not.
Correct.
Isn't that correct, Judy?
Yeah.
And how much opportunity he had to hunt prior to that date, because that application was rather late in the hunt.
Craig, could you give us an idea of what you did do actually in hunting?
I actually wasn't able to go out hunting or do much as far as hunting because of weather. And I understand, or I realize, that there's not a lot that anybody can control in that. I started the last week in April. I spent all day for several days up on the mountain trying to get into these private properties that I had access, had been granted permission to hunt. One property was on the south side of Summit Mountain, Another property was down in below, or down in North Fork, below Cascade Spring. Oh, it's kind of north and west of, or south and west of Cascade Falls. And, you know, I spent so much time, time trying to get into these, you know, breaking through the snow and cutting trees and that kind of stuff, just trying to get in. And I'm trying to think here. By the 13th of May, I think is about the time that I had listed here is when I went into the Forest Service to try and get that to find some spots on public land, because all the property that I had permission to hunt, I wasn't able to access because of weather. And, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I spent several, you know, a lot of time or several days trying to access area, trying to hunt without any success because of the weather and the snow and that was still on the ground at the time.
How many points did you have? Do you recall when you drew?
I had 5 points.
Okay. Questions? Comment?
I have a question. is there two permissions that are required then to bait, one from the Forest Service or perhaps BLM? Does BLM get involved the same way? And then another one from DWR. What's the coordination between the federal agency and DWR when it comes to establishing guidelines for where you can and can't bait?
Kevin or John, one of you want to answer that?
Something that's gone back and forth at least once, Mike. We used to require people to bring us a letter from the Forest Service. That's actually not required anymore, but we require them to obtain permission from the federal agency. They don't any longer have to show us and give us proof of that permission. Each of the forests are kind of do their own thing. Some of them block out great big areas that they don't allow baiting. Some of them, you know, do it very, you know, some are very conservative, some are quite liberal. So there's a lot of inconsistency between the forests. We've chosen because it was taking people so long to get that written permission and bring it to us. We've chosen to kind of stay out of that, because the complaints we were getting in the past is, you know, it took a guy 2.5 weeks to get his permission from the Forest Service before he could even come to us. And so we've made a conscious choice to say, you know what, we're going to separate the two. We'll do our part and we'll do it as quickly as we can for you. And in this case, it happened quite quickly. It was reviewed in 3 days and the biologist made the decision he did. But there's not a great deal of coordination between us and them, because when we tried that in the past, it was very awkward and it was keeping people from the opportunity to hunt and delaying their ability to get in the field.
So I just wondered if there was any consistency in the guidelines between the two groups as far as distances away from.
Well, we put the guideline out as a minimum. You know, this is kind of the starting point, and then we then analyze them on a case-by-case basis. You know, if they meet those guidelines, then we take the next step to say, a more in-depth analysis. So that's kind of a starting point.
I realize it didn't have anything to do with the hunt per se, but I was just curious.
Here also, Judy and Kevin, don't we have the option to either extend the season or restore the points?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Ernie?
Could somebody speak for the variance committee on why the recommendation for non-approval?
Why the recommendation was for not approved?
Yeah.
Based on the
There's multiple factors. So what were the factors that led to that recommendation?
The main fact that led to that recommendation was the fact that he was on that unit during his season, date, time, and was had the opportunity to hunt and sound like attended to hunting. So that was the gist of not recommending that that be extended, is that he had opportunity to hunt on that unit and did so.
Chairman?
Yes.
I feel like this person had an opportunity to hunt that particular unit. He also, in my mind, doesn't meet the variance requirements that is set forth by the Division of Wildlife Resources. And I would make a motion that we deny this variance request.
Okay, do we have a second to that motion?
I'm going to second that just to, you know, I feel bad that the experience wasn't what he had hoped for. I've played the spring bear hunt game a couple times myself, and it can be extremely difficult, and you're at the mercy of a lot of different variables. But I think in this case, you know, there was some opportunity there to hunt, and some things that are beyond the division's control had some effect. So I don't think this particular case would meet the requirements.
Okay. Craig, we've had a motion to deny a variance request or extension. And okay. So we've had that seconded. I'm going to call for a vote. All in favor? Been unanimous. Craig, appreciate the opportunity. But the board has voted to deny that. Thank you.
Okay. Can I ask one question? And I don't know whether you guys can do anything about this. But can there be something written or something said that, and I mean, I followed the guidebook. I followed what was written in the division's publication to hunt bears. Granted, I was out in the field, but I exceeded their what they wanted as far as distances and that kind of stuff. And yet I was still denied the core chances. I mean, still the chances were there that I wouldn't harvest anything. I may have. It was late in the hunt. But, I mean, I felt like the rules were changed on me right in the middle of my hunt.
Hi, Craig.
And,
this is...
I don't know.
This is...
That's the thing. That's what's why I come to this is... Wasn't so much that I didn't get to hunt or anything. It was that I followed the rules in the guidebook published by the Division of Wildlife. And when I applied for the Corps, the rules were changed and extended. I mean, I was twice what they were asking for. And it just seemed like they were calling it quits to my hunt.
John.
Before it was ever done.
Thank you. Craig, I understand your frustration. This is John Shivick. And although the guidelines state the minimums, they don't say that what the absolute, all the decisions are going into those CORs. But I do understand the frustration, and we've already discussed this, and we will update the new proclamation to say a few things about the timeliness of bringing in requests for CORs, and also that the division has a number of other factors and things we need to consider before we approve those. So we will clarify that and try to make that so such a misunderstanding won't happen again in the future.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're done with that then. Next item. Craig. Craig on a conservation permit audit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Greg Sheehan. I'm the Administrative Services Chief for the Division of Wildlife Resources. Today I'll be presenting the 2011 conservation permit audits. I'll give you a little bit of background on these and why we do these audits and what they're intended to accomplish. I think I've given hard copies to all the board members, so hopefully you've had a chance to look at those, or if not, we'll cover what's in those here today. In 2004, the Wildlife Board passed a rule that allowed conservation organizations to retain 60% of funds collected from the sale of conservation permits. Those funds are only to be used for pre-approved projects that are brought to us and approved by the director. The Wildlife Board also, at the time that they created the provision for that rule, said that an annual audit would be done of each of the conservation groups who retain that 60% to ensure that those funds are appropriately accounted for. And since that time, we have performed these audits each year. Some of the items that we look at in these reviews, revenues generated were being accounted for, that there were separate bank accounts for the funds, project approval forms, we call them cover sheets here in the division, were being prepared and signed, and that any unexpended funds were still in bank accounts. I mentioned we've done this now for the past 7 years, and I think the conservation groups, most of them have been the same throughout this period, have a pretty good understanding of these audits and what we look for each year, we've mostly worked out the bugs that we had early on with how to manage these accounts and money, and they're all pretty clean nowadays as we look at these audit issues. Here's a summary of the conservation permit data for the year. Kind of give you an overview. Hopefully those in the audience can see that information. Kind of do a brief recap for some of those who are listening in. Basically, we had 336 conservation permits this year. The total dollars generated from those was $2,472,440. Organizations, as I mentioned, were able to retain 60% until we approve projects that those dollars can be used on. And 30% is remitted back to the division by September 1st of each year, which all of those groups successfully did. And then they're allowed to keep for their own administrative use 10% of any funds that they generate from the auction and of these sales of these permits. So what the rule allows us to allows the groups to have two prior years of money, because some of these projects can take some time to be accomplished. We do a lot of habitat projects that sometimes are delayed or take some amount of time. So they'd have the monies that they generated from this year, and then up to two prior years. So we go back to make sure that any past funds are still accounted for. And again, those were all being accounted for appropriately with all of the conservation groups. We were able to reconcile those. And then ultimately we do look at bank statements and different components to make sure that we can actually verify those funds. I've added two columns this year, which are on the right. Again, I apologize for those who can't see those. But basically, I wanted to show in the yellow column the balances that are available right now, which is about, or balances of cash on hand, which is about $2.8 million from 2009, 10, and 11 cumulatively. We have obligations of those dollars to the division, or approval through the division, of $2.1 million. So there's roughly $684,000 that's still out there to be committed to future projects that come to be presented to the division for consideration. The groups, and I'll read the names of these just for those who are listening. We've got Foundation for North America Wild Sheep, Mule Deer Foundation, National Wild Turkey Federation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Safari Club International, Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife, and the Utah Bowmen for Habitat. One interesting point I wanted to make, Safari Club International typically does not retain the 60%. They return all of that to the division at their option. And Hey, you typically take little or any of the 10%. This year they retained 3.61% of the funds for administrative costs and returned the balance. So that's where they're a little bit different than some of the other groups. So in summary, the 2011 revealed that all of the conservation organizations successfully completed the accountability requirements, and we have no further recommendations at this time.
Can I just add one thing to Greg's presentation? Now that we have the audit and the audit is a public document, I just wanted to read the final conclusion on conservation permits from the auditors. It says, in conclusion, the sale of conservation permits promotes habitat improvement on public lands with no expense to the taxpayer while negligibly reducing the public's opportunity to draw a permit for a limited entry hunting area. We would encourage the division to continue to support this program. So that's their only recommendation in their summary statement, that we should continue the program.
And if I can clarify for Jim, that's not our internal audit. That's the, right, the legislative audit that was done by the legislature and released on Tuesday of this week.
Just one quick question for clarification. It talks about separate bank accounts. Mm-hmm. Is that a separate bank account for these organizations, or is it a separate bank account for you guys?
It's within their organization. Okay. So we don't allow them to commingle any of these funds with some of their other money they might generate from banquets or different places.
Yeah, I'd just like to note a couple of compliments here from the audit sheets that you produced for each organization. I noted that Safari Club didn't take 10%. Safari Club elected just to retain 3.61% for administrative overhead purposes. Very different than anything I've noted before. Then SFW donated back the interest that they made on 1.something mil.
Yes, I failed to mention that. Yes,
that was $4,000 or $3,300 back to the division there. Again, a kudo in my opinion.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out.
And do these fund balances represent a decrease from last year?
I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me to tell you the truth. I assume they're probably down just a little bit. We've been trying a little more aggressively to get these groups committed to projects earlier on and make sure we're hitting the ground as quick as we can with some of these funds. So I think, I don't have the number from last year. I could go get it, but it's probably down a little. Another interesting note, you know, with the economy down a little, and we've probably got some groups here, I'm not sure, but the overall sales of permits were down, I think, just over 10% from last year, which I think some of the indications that you've probably heard with the maybe a little bit slower economy.
I'd like to make one comment, Greg. Appreciate what you've done. Looks very clean to me, and that is that my comment would be that these sportsmen's group foundations, whatever they are, the state of Utah is highly recognized because of the habitat work that they do. That is driven a lot by the funds coming from these types of organizations. It allows the state to do above and beyond more than what some of the other states are doing because of that. And it's a good thing for the state of Utah, as well as what Jim just read from the state's own auditors.
An interesting note for you here. The sale that we have from all of the permits that we sell each year through our limited entry draws for our big game, for all of our elk, limited entry deer, all of our once-in-a-lifetime, sheep, elk, moose, all of those permits generate to us, to the division, about $1.6 million a year. The permit sales of these 336 permits generated $2.4 million this year. So these are a large contribution. It's about 40% more that these permits raise than all of the other permits we sell through our draws put together, not counting our general season deer permits and things.
In the long run, all of the hunters in the state of Utah are benefiting from this program because of the impact it has on the ground.
Yeah, I think that's what the legislative auditors concluded after spending some degree of time looking into this. So,
Okay, any other comment from the board? Comments from the RAC? Comments from anybody in the audience? Okay, RAC, let's start. They didn't get it. They didn't get it, did it? We just got it, so we can just do that. Okay, I entertain a motion then.
I make a motion that we accept the results of the conservation permit internal audit as presented.
Second. Second by Bill. DWR's presentation of the audit has been approved, or motion to approve that and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Anything else there, Greg?
All I had. Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is conservation permit allocation by Ellen Clark.
This should be, it's a tab in your books if you would. I'm Alan Clark, the assistant director with the division. We have two kinds of conservation permits, or two sections to the conservation permit rule. One are what we call the multi-year permits, and that's groups that have participated for a long time in request permits, and we issue them in blocks for a three-year period. For those permits, this will be year three this year. So next year we'll do a new allocation or draft. We refer to it sometimes. Board members are certainly welcome to come. We can let you know when that is. We usually have popcorn and so on to go along with the event. So, but, yeah, it is. It's entertaining. But anyway, the other permits is we wanted to maintain an opportunity when the rule was revised for new groups to get in when we created these multi-year permits. And so we have single-year permits. It's limited to just a few permits. It's limited to groups that don't participate in the multi-permit process. And so what we're doing right now, the Wildlife Board needs to approve these permits for the coming year for 2012. We go through all of our hunts and identify some hunts in each category where there are permits available above and beyond the multi-year permits. And so if you look at the top of that handout, that chart, we identified those permits, and so they fall into that criteria that we can issue no more than 5% of the permits in any hunt, or no, except for once in a lifetime. We don't put once in a lifetime in these, or no more than 8 permits total, conservation permits on any hunt unit. And so we go back and review that, and I worked with Anise, and we identified which units had a permit or two available, and that's the list on the top. So we identified, first of all, that there were 24 permits that we could. There probably were a few more, but we, you know, again, because they're not, we're not trying to make this into a big program, we offered those available as the single-year permits. We mail those out to every group that's contacted us and said we'd like to consider bidding on these, and I think this year we mailed it to 3 groups that contacted us. 2 of those groups submitted requests for those permits. One of those is Ducks Unlimited, and the other was the Utah Bowman for habitat. The way they work, a new group can get no more than $20,000 worth of permits. And so a new group we define as a group that didn't have any of those permits last year. So they start, if a group had them 2 years ago and then drop out for a year and come back in, they go back to that starting point of no more than $20,000 worth of permits. And then a group that gets them years in a row, we limit their growth. They can no more than double the number of permits that they had last year. So Utah Bowman had 4 last year, so they would be eligible for 8 this year. Not a dollar cap, but that's what they'd be eligible for. That'd be the maximum growth they could have based on the rule. And then Ducks Unlimited, because they had none last year, just dropped back to that beginning point that they can receive no more than $20,000 worth of permits. So you'll see that we went through that process. We compare if the groups ask for permits that another group doesn't ask for, then it's pretty straightforward. We're recommending to you that you award them, and those group of eight permits at the top are ones that one or the other of the group recommended or bid on, and they do it through a bid process. And then there were two permits that both groups requested, and then we use a competitive way of doing it where we look at their performance factor and how much they bid. A new group gets a 1.0 performance factor. That's in the rule. And the other group's performance factor is based on their previous years, how well they did with their permits. And so in the two where there was a competition, in one case, we're recommending that Utah Bowman for Habitat receive the Wasatch Mountains archery permit. And then we're recommending that Ducks Unlimited receive the West Desert Vernon Any Weapon permit. And so the final total, if you accept the division recommendation, is Ducks Unlimited would have three permits, and Utah Bowman for Habitat would have seven. And those are summarized on this page. Any questions?
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Go back to SCI. Northeastern chapter of SCI is the biggest one we have in the state. At about 400 plus individuals there, and you've seen here what the individuals in that oil field have done as far as buying permits. What I just understood is that this year's locked, but if I can get those men out there to come together next year, they could be a new group, even though they're the same name as the SCI National Foundation, which you already got on your other permits, the three-year program.
They could not bid on the 1 years because somebody can't play in both realms. The way the rule reads, and I think we talked about this a little bit, Del.
Yeah, and I just need to clear that
the
up.
Way the rule reads is if a chapter from an organization and another chapter or a higher-up part of that organization does, we can only accept a request from one of those. And in the case of, let's say, SCI, if we would probably go to the national and say which one of these organizations is representing Utah in this process. And that would be, and then we would kind of leave it up to that organization to make the call on it.
I'm going to talk to them and have them talk to national SCI.
Yep, that's the approach to take. So we get one. Now, the other thing that's possible, Dell, is if those groups could go together, the two chapters, and do it under the national. And then decide, because all of the groups, Mule Deer Foundation and so on, they move permits to locations of banquets for different chapters. And so they could, probably a better strategy for them would be, let's go in together and we get one request and then they decide how to separate those permits out, which ones that they would market, let's say, at the chapter out in the basin and which ones they would do at the Salt Lake banquet.
Some of what you give them now is just actually auctioned off the national convention, besides mm-hmm. what they do on their local level.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board?
Well, the remaining permits, there were 24 available, 11 used. The remaining permits go back into the draw?
Yeah, actually 10 used, but yes. Yeah, so any not issued are available for the drawing this coming year.
Okay, I'll wait all day for a motion.
Make a motion that we approve the conservation permit allocations recommended by the division.
We have a second. Seconded by Mike. I have a motion to approve the conservation permits as presented. Seconded by Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
That'd be okay if I address the board just real quick for under other business.
Okay, state your name. What's your...
Eric Tixon. I'm chief operating officer for the Mule Deer Foundation. I just wanted to comment on the conservation permit program within the state of Utah. Jim mentioned that we're admired across the West and even across some of the eastern states for this program. because it allows us as sportsmen and conservation groups to take a resource from Utah and sell it to people that are willing to pay more money for these tags, but directly impact the habitat in the state of Utah. And the projects, you can look down the list of the projects that are funded by this program, highway crossings for wildlife, habitat restoration, fire rehabilitation, and this program really is a great resource, and just wanted to tell you that Mule Deer Foundation really appreciates the partnership, as well as Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife and the other groups that participated in this, and thank you for allowing it to continue.
Thank you. We appreciate your participation. I've got one item for other business. That is, I'd like to put on the action log a review of a possible management buck deer hunt on the Bookcliff unit. Bookcliffs. We just have people constantly reporting older age big twos and big threes out there that we could probably get, and we could get a permit, because the permit the draws right now, limited entry, he doesn't want to shoot a big two when he's been waiting 10, 12 years, so he lets that deer go by. I propose that we put that on the action log and maybe entertain the thought that even those be allocated to you so many every year. We take care of some of them. But
so is that your motion?
That's my motion, yeah. Good. I'm not sure I can make a motion, though.
Yeah, you can.
Somebody else would have to make it as the chairman. I don't think
just
you
a
can
strong
make a
suggestion.
Yeah.
It's a suggestion to somebody else to make the motion.
Ernie?
Well, you know, we're supposed to operate in generally in accordance with, so I think action log motion. Question for you, though, on your motion. Would it just have to happen right now, or could it be part of the next mule deer management plan vision 2013?
It could be. You know, I think
it's got statewide implications, perhaps.
This plan's due December of 2013, as we talked about yesterday. We want to get 2 years of data, and so the proposal would be actually delay that about 6 months. So it'd be around, you know, April, May, June of 2014 is our plan. So not far off.
We could start collecting information now, start looking at our classification data, how many deer are in that category. We could start on that. I don't know if they've started with this year's or not. But
knowing if that needs to be on the table, some time to collect some information relative to that would be good. And so,
yeah, I'm not telling you when to do it. Sooner the better, you know.
Are you okay with it being addressed in conjunction with the revision of the plan in 2014?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, okay.
I think that's great. Because like Ernie said, that does have implications to other. We've limited that to just the premium units to this point, so if we're going to open it up to non-premium units, we got to look at that at broader than just the Bookcliffs.
Second the motion.
All in favor? And that's unanimous. Do you have any other items of business somebody wants to bring up that we need from the board?
I have a question, and I don't know whether to address this to the director or to Anise or who wants to answer that. I'm hearing that the elk working groups are meeting again with some discussion on possibly raising the limit of the number of elk. Is that happening?
Yeah, so basically our unit plans are due in April for the statewide, well, unit by unit plans for mm-hmm. for elk,
and those are revised.
Well, they're revising,
or at
conjunction
least looked at every 5 years
usually, yeah, in okay. conjunction with the statewide plan. Whenever that gets renewed, then we renew our unit plans as well. So yeah, there are some committees that have already been formed to start that process. Not all of them have been formed, nor will all of them be formed. Some of them were not recommending any changes, so we would just, you know,
whatever's there, just
yeah,
carry over.
Right. So, yeah, there are some that are currently in place, and then some that are due to be in place here in the next little
bit. When do they report, and when do we act on those management
plans?
Yeah,
you'll act on this in the April rack and board process, so right after we set permits. It'll be the one following that.
It all goes through the process?
It all goes through the rack and board process.
So you set the permit numbers in April, and then right after that, then you review the management plan and go from there.
In the past, it's been before that process, but this year we took a little bit more time after the statewide plan was done to put an additional committee together to look at how we're going to incentivize those public land grazers to accept more elk, and we've put through some things to try to do that. I don't know if that was successful or not, and we'll kind of see what comes out.
See what the recommendations are
from the regions.
And Stacy, from yesterday, didn't we talk about, now we had a work meeting yesterday, we've had got another one scheduled for in May, the day before our board meeting?
Yes. You added that during the last board meeting.
Right.
Ernie, I sure think we need another one in the March-April time frame to see how the division's progressing with this alternative proposal and potentially some other topics that could be included too. So my recommendation would be we ought to consider another work meeting after the legislature.
Change.
Who knows?
I'd like to make a motion that the director is there.
No,
that's not always my choice.
Jim Garfield, what's
so we've got a work meeting the day before our May meeting.
You have a board work session on May 2nd, and then you have the board meeting on May 3rd.
And what Ernie just said, and I've been thinking about the same, is that with this direction we gave yesterday to go back and revisit these buck doe ratios, that we ought to at least have some time there where we can talk about that and become a little bit more informed other than at the last hour and the last minute.
We ought to ask Anise, when will you have all of your classification and harvest information and be able to kind of...
Usually we'll have all of our classification data by mid-January. We're going to try to have it a little bit earlier this year just because we want to have some of that data before the drawing actually happens. But usually we don't get our harvest data till mid-February.
We met in March. Would that give you enough time to organize?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't think that what we're doing with the statewide plan requires us having any this year's data. It's theoretical and what units are going to be what. It certainly would help to have it. Having said that, it just depends how much involvement from the public we're going to have and all that. We haven't thought through all that yet, having this just come up. We've thought about it a little bit, but just haven't put the details to it yet. So whatever timeline you guys give us, we'll work within it.
Are we thinking just to have some dialogue and get an update and kind of be involved in the process before it's time to vote on it is what we're looking for?
We want to have time to chew on it and think about it before we have to vote. Well, maybe... I would think to give you a little bit of time, and we'd still have time if we could have that meeting in April sometime.
The RAC meetings start in April.
Okay.
So, March 27th.
So we've got to do it in March.
And there's other ways where we could keep you apprised as well. As we're going through the process, we could just keep you in the loop on how things are progressing by email and other, and if you're more than willing to call or participate at any time through the process instead of it having, you know, I guess you can be involved throughout the process instead of having to have a meeting where we update you. That way, it we can wait until that meeting to actually have the actual motion or whatever happens. It's your call. I just that's just another thing that's out there that you, we could do it that way as well.
What's the feeling of the board?
I don't think it ever hurts to get together and talk about it and see if we, you know, if we're on board with the direction we're going, if it's what we thought it would be. I mean, I think that it's always good to get together and talk about it. So I would personally, I'd probably be in favor of it if, you know, if we could pull it together, if the timing worked, I'd think it'd be a good thing.
I like both ideas. I think if you could keep us informed on your email list and then schedule a March meeting.
Okay. Can we just schedule a March meeting?
Stacy can get this room anytime she wants, huh, Stacy? We don't need this room for a work meeting.
We don't.
Do we, because of the microphones?
We're going to broadcast it, yes.
I would suggest it be that week of March 12th to the 16th or the last week of March.
The last week of March is the brown bag and the prep for the rack packet.
And I'd go with the other one.
What's the date?
About the 15th is a Thursday. Well, the 15th is a Thursday. Guides of March. Something bad happened that day, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. When's your birthday, Stacy?
Somebody stabbed Caesar in the back. Okay. I think that's not that great.
Yes.
St. Patty's Day. I know what we need.
Yes. 15. Jake or Bill?
Spring break.
Maybe we could kill a couple of stones if we like something in Ephraim that we was going to do before. Have it all the same thing.
Make sense, Jim?
No, what? I didn't get that.
What Jake
do
was,
all what?
You know, we had some kind of a tour of the feed.
Oh, down feed at Ephraim.
In Ephraim?
Maybe. It's still the dead of winter in San Pete County.
Yeah, that's right.
Got to watch him, San Pete County boys.
We're not going to be sitting outside, are we?
We might be able to work it into it and do it down it. It becomes problematic for broadcast.
Are you opposed to that, Stacy, to doing it somewhere else?
I support fully open and transparency, so I would prefer to broadcast all of your work, especially on a topic such as...
Let's just leave it right now. We sort of talked about the 15th, which is a Thursday, third Thursday in March. If something can be combined, we can do it then. March 15th?
That's
want to do that. Okay. There's nothing else. I'll take a motion to dismiss.
Aye.
Okay, to dismiss and second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all.